Welcome to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Join us every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio for a look at the life, deeds, and words of Yeshua Messiah and his followers from the Torah-centric Hebraic perspective they were originally lived and written in. Today's program is an introduction to the book of Mark. Who was Mark? When did he come to believe in Messiah? What was his ministry? How did he come to write the book of Mark? What makes the Gospel of Mark different from the Gospel of Matthew? Stay tuned through to the end of today's program for Eliyahu Ben David's insight about the author of the book of Mark. The scriptures commented on in today's program are mainly from the book of Acts and various of the emissaries' letters. However, we want to share with you a portion from Mark as an introduction to this book. Here is that portion now. Mark, chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 20. The good news according to Mark. The beginning of the good news of Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of Elohim. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of Adonai, make his path straight. John came, immersing in the wilderness, and proclaiming the immersion of repentance for forgiveness of sins. All the country of Judea and all those of Jerusalem went out to him. They were immersed by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. I immersed you in water, but he will immerse you in the Holy Spirit. It happened in those days that Yeshua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was immersed by John in the Jordan. Immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came out of the sky, You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels were serving him. Now after John was taken into custody, Yeshua came into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of Elohim, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of Elohim is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. Passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Yeshua said to them, Come after me, and I will make you into fishers for men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further from there, he saw Jacob, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. And now, introducing the Book of Mark, here's Eliyahu.
Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. And walk in it.
Hello, friends. I am so stoked over starting the Book of Mark. I love the Book of Mark. It's just so fast moving. It gets you right into what's going on with Yeshua Messiah. And you get the whole overview very quickly of the things that he did. And it's just a different way of seeing it than the way we saw it in the Book of Matthew. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And the emphasis is the good news. I think that's so exciting. It's still news today. And it's such good news that it overcomes all the bad news. Have you got any troubles in your life? Look at the good news. They're going to take away all your troubles. The kingdom is the answer to every problem. That's what you're going to find in the Book of Mark, and so much more. This is the beginning of the good news of Yeshua, the Messiah, the Son of Elohim. I thought as we're going into the Book of Mark, we might want to know more about the person that wrote it. Do you remember reading about Mark when we went through the Book of Matthew? Oh, you don't remember that? He's not in there. Do you remember seeing him listed among the 12 apostles? Not one of those guys. Mark's a very interesting guy for this reason, because he's not what you might call a big shot among the early believers, okay? So he's somebody that I think we can all sort of relate to. He's a lot like us. Like all of us. And I'm going to kind of tell you about Mark, and I think you might enjoy hearing about him and how he came to write the Gospel of Mark. Well, to tell you about Mark, I need to tell you about Barnabas. And to tell you about Barnabas, I need to tell you about what happened after the goal message that we read about in Matthew. You know, after Yeshua Messiah ascended into heaven and he told the disciples to go and wait until the Holy Spirit was poured out. And we talked about this last week. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out and there were people gathered that day, Jewish people from all over the Roman Empire who spoke lots of different languages, and the believers who were empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak to all these different people in their own language. And 3,000 were immersed the first day. Remember that? Well, what happened with those people is they all came there to Jerusalem for Shavuot, right? And then they received the good news. And then they didn't want to go home. They wanted to stay. They wanted to hear the whole story of everything that happened from the apostles. They wanted to understand how did this fit in with the prophecies. So all these people from all over the empire, they just stayed there in Jerusalem, learning from the apostles. And having a big party. You know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they received the good news. It was the most amazing time in Jerusalem. It was so incredible. And what was happening is there were so many of them, thousands of them, okay? They were staying in homes of other believers there in Jerusalem. And so there were homes all over Jerusalem that were packed with believers from all over the place. And the apostles, the book of Acts tells us, they were going from house to house. They were going from one of these houses where everybody was to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, to the next one, in each place, sharing their testimony of what had happened with Yeshua and explaining all of it. And they kept doing that for the longest time. And after a while, for a lot of these folks, the money was running out, right? Because when they came for Shavuot, they didn't plan they were going to be staying there all of this time. So what happened is really cool. Let me read this in Acts chapter 4. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Not one of them claimed that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. With great power, the emissaries gave their testimony of the resurrection of Adonai Yeshua. So what they did is they pooled all their money. So whoever had more put that in, and it was distributed in such a way so that everybody was provided for and they could stay in Jerusalem and be a part of this amazing thing that was going on. Well, it goes on here. It says, great grace was on them all, for neither was there among them any who lacked, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the emissaries' feet. And distribution was made to each according as anyone had need. So anybody that had anything, okay, houses even, land, I'm talking major things, they sold it. They sold it so that their brothers could stay and receive the good news. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? Thousands of them. Thousands of them. Well, it goes on, Yossi, which is a form of Joseph or Joseph, who by the emissaries was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted son of encouragement, a Levite, a man of Cyprus by race, having a field, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the emissaries' feet. So here we have a man, a Cypriot Jew, okay, named Joseph, which was a very common name, of course, among the Jews. But the apostles renamed him. They gave him another name. They called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Apparently, he was such an encourager to everybody else that he deserved that name. And you can tell how much he loved everyone because he had a field. He sold it for the sake of all his brothers and sisters, for them to be able to share in the good news that had just recently occurred. That's an amazing story, isn't it? Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. And a lot of times, what would happen and what happens today is the good news gets a hold of someone in a family, and then they share it. And then it gets a hold of others in the family, and sometimes whole families come along. Now, it doesn't always happen like this, but it's beautiful when it does happen like this. And so this is what happened. Mark was a part of that, but he was a young man and no doubt greatly influenced by Barnabas, his cousin. Now, Barnabas had a sister, and her name was Mary. She had a house there in Jerusalem or in that area. And it's called the House of Mary. So she's probably a widow. Otherwise, it would be called the house of her husband, according to their culture. But it's called the House of Mary. So she's probably a widow. And what the story could have been is that their family may have actually originated in Cyprus, where Barnabas was from. And then Mary, perhaps, was married to a Jew in Jerusalem, ended up with a house there in Jerusalem. Her husband died. She's still there with the house. That's what I'm thinking probably happened. But anyway, she was the mother of a young man named John, who was surnamed Mark. And this young man is the Mark that wrote the book of Mark.
Chapter 12, verse 12. Peter came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Colossians 4, verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. The word translated as cousin here is Strong's word G431. Anepsios, which means a brood, properly akin, that is specifically a cousin, sister's son. Because this word means cousin as well as sister's son in the Greek, Mark is often referred to as the cousin of Barnabas, even though in modern terms he'd be considered the nephew of Barnabas. Don't go away. Hebraic Insights in the Gospels will be right back after this.
I am of the olive tree. I have been grafted in. I am of Israel.
The restoration of the remnant of Israel is one of the most undertaught, neglected, and unknown major events in Bible prophecy.
A strange fact, since prophecies and references to this event can be found all throughout almost every major book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation.
Now, Yahweh has raised up Zion Ministry to teach his remnant nation of Israel everything they need to know about this often neglected truth in his perfect timing.
To learn who the remnant of Israel is, what the Zion mission is, and why we teach the things we do, go to our website at zion.org and click the Remnant Vision in the menu bar.
That is TSION.org.
Zion Road, the only way home.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I think is interesting about this. The whole family came to faith after the death and resurrection of Messiah. So in that respect, they're just like all of us, right? They came to faith by hearing the good news. Now, they had certain advantages that we didn't have because this is right after the death and resurrection of Messiah. So this was like current events for them. No doubt they heard about the things that Messiah did as like rumors and things like that that came to them. But then after his death and resurrection, of course, was the time when this was proclaimed everywhere about who he was. And of course, the resurrection was major news, right? And it's reported elsewhere there were 500 people to whom Messiah appeared after his resurrection. Just a huge number of eyewitnesses to the fact that he had been put to death and raised from the dead. Now that's an amazing thing, isn't it? So when you think about it, it's not hard to understand why there were so many thousands of people who received the good news so quickly, right? Because this was all current events, and there were people who are able to vouch for what the truth was. So many, many people responded really quickly, including this family. Well, let's talk more about John Mark. John Mark accompanied Barnabas and Saul on their first missionary journey. And what happened was Mark was going to go along to be essentially an assistant to Barnabas and Paul. Now, in those days, traveling was a lot harder than it is today. And Paul and Barnabas were called, essentially, to do the ministry. So Mark's job was going to be to take care of all the things that needed to be done, right? Things like obtaining places to stay and washing clothes and making meals and all these kinds of things that have to be done for everybody, right? And he was doing that in order to allow them to concentrate on the mission, because the good news had to be spread everywhere, and they were called to do it. So that was going to be his job when he accompanied Barnabas and Saul. And we have Acts 12:25. Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their service, also taking with them to Antioch John, whose surname was Mark. Now, Antioch was in Syria, and it was the jumping off point, you might say, to the rest of the Roman world. And Antioch was the first major congregation to form outside of the Judea nexus. It says, when they were at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of Elohim in the Jewish synagogues. They had also John as their attendant. So this is how things started out on their trip. This is what they did, by the way. When they traveled, they went to the Jewish synagogue first, because who was going to understand about the Messiah, right? Was the Jews. And so they went to the synagogue. But then also, in all of these areas, there were people who were called God-fearers. And these were Gentile people who believed in the God of Israel. So then they also spoke to those people and told them the good news. Well, it tells us in Acts 13, now Paul and his company set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. So see what happened? They started out in Antioch. They went to Cyprus. Now, no doubt in Cyprus, it wasn't too bad because Barnabas was from Cyprus. So they probably even had like extended family and stuff there. So that's where they started. But then from Cyprus, they were going from Paphos to Perga. So now this is when they were going to be getting into the real nitty-gritty of the mission. And this is where John said, well, I'm not so sure I want to do this. And he withdrew from the mission and returned to Jerusalem. So what happened with him? Well, maybe he was worried about his mother. Maybe he had a lack of self-confidence or something. I thought, well, I don't really think I'm up to this. A lot of different things could have happened, right? But nevertheless, he quit on the mission. There's no other way to say it, right? He quit on the mission. He really messed up, is what happened. Because he had committed himself to this. Then they're quite a long ways now from Jerusalem, about to get into the heart of this mission, and he quits and goes home. So that's what happened with Mark. You know, a lot of people who are good people have nevertheless messed up. Have you ever messed up? Royally messed up? Well, Mark was a young man, and he royally messed up. And frankly, he was a big disappointment when he did that.
Acts 15, starting in verse 36.
Well, Paul and Barnabas did the mission, and they had amazing success. Of course, everywhere they went, people were responding to the good news. They started a whole bunch of congregations. There were a bunch of brothers there, sisters, and all those congregations. And eventually, Paul and Barnabas came back to Jerusalem, reported everything there. Then it says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let's return now and visit our brothers in every city in which we proclaim the word of Adonai to see how they are doing. You know, when you make these connections with people, you love them, right? You don't just forget who they are or what they're doing. And Paul wanted to see them all again and encourage them. Well, it goes on, Barnabas planned to take John, who was called Mark, with them also. But Paul didn't think that it was a good idea to take with them someone who had withdrawn from them, from Pamphylia, and didn't go with them to do the work. Then the contention grew so sharp that they separated from each other. Well, just think about that. Here we have Barnabas and we have Paul, who were ministry companions, and they had done all this work together. And they were so at odds with each other over Mark and whether they were going to bring him with them on another tour, that they ended up actually separating with one another. Some people are pretty shocked over that. Myself, I'm not shocked about it at all. Sometimes, you know, people argue over this as to who was right in this argument. Was Barnabas right? Or was Paul right? Well, let's look at it from both of their positions. We have Barnabas. He's called the son of encouragement. Are you surprised that he wanted to take Mark along with him? He's thinking, okay, let's give the boy another chance, right? Let's kind of encourage him along and help him out. Besides that, he's my cousin. It's not hard to understand what Barnabas is thinking. What about Paul? What is he thinking? He's thinking, well, you know, that's okay to encourage Mark, but not at the expense of my mission, because I've been called by Yeshua Messiah to bring the good news to the Gentiles. And how can I do that if I have someone on my team that's going to totally let me down? I can't risk that. So, you know who I think is right? I think they're both right. And I think that's why they ended up splitting up. And I think also that Messiah knew it was going to happen that way. And it had to happen that way, because I'll tell you what, Paul had a big territory to cover. And really, he couldn't deal with a ministry team where he's having to coax them to do everything, or he can't count on them, because the job was just too big. And especially in those days, you just think about how rigorous all of it really was. He really needed to have a team he could count on. So he was totally right to say, no, this person has already shown me that I can't count on them. But on the other hand, you know, Barnabas, he had a different calling. He was an encourager. And he is the person that you would go to for a second chance, you know? And don't we all need a second chance sometime? So, you know, he was right from his point of view. So what happened is Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and went out, being commended by the brothers to the grace of Elohim. So Barnabas went back to Cyprus, where he was from. And he knew Mark could do that, because Mark was probably from there too, right? So you see, what happened with Barnabas, he actually scaled back his mission in order to help Mark. Paul couldn't do that. So Paul went on and did what he had intended in the first place. So this is what happened. Well, how did that all turn out? Later on, we find Mark as part of Paul's ministry team. Isn't that interesting? How did that happen? Well, Barnabas apparently encouraged Mark and help Mark get up to speed, to get to a place where he was suitable, he was fit to be able to work with Paul. Isn't that neat how that worked? That's what's supposed to happen in the assembly of believers, by the way. You know, there needs to be people like Barnabas who have that gift, who's always encouraging other people and helping other people along. We need that. But we also need the people who have a serious mission and have to focus on it and get it done. Both kinds of people are needed. And a lot of other kinds of people. You know, as you read this whole record, that's what you find. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and a whole lot of other kinds of people. Ministers like Mark. You know, as you read through the gospel account about Mark, nowhere do you find him actually ministering the word in the way that Paul or Barnabas does it. His ministry seems to be a ministry of helps. He's a fellow worker to Paul. He's providing helps so that Paul can do his mission. And because of that, Paul actually mentions him in the Bible. Wouldn't we all like that? To be mentioned in the scriptures? He's somebody important in Paul's mind. And he calls Mark and the others who worked with him his fellow workers. They were a part of a ministry team accomplishing the work together. Really awesome. Well, not only did Mark work with Barnabas and with Paul, but he also spent quite a long time working with Peter. And according to tradition and some ancient writers, Mark was a personal attendant for Peter and an interpreter, a translator for Peter. And it's very likely that it was while he was working in this position with Peter that he actually wrote the Gospel of Mark, and that he got most of the information from Peter. So the book of Mark could be called the book of Peter in a way, because Mark got the information from Peter, and no doubt from a lot of other people, because Mark himself had been there right after Messiah's resurrection, so he knew all those people. But no doubt, since he worked with Peter, was an attendant for Peter, Peter personally approved and confirmed the book of Mark. I really like that so much. I like the fact that someone who worked in that way as an attendant, who supported the ministry through a spiritual gift of support, is a Bible writer. I love that. I think that's great, because that kind of shows that, you know, all of us can do something important for the kingdom. Someday, you know, you might think of yourself as when you're washing the dishes, okay, for the kingdom. Well, I'm never going to do anything important. Well, the first thing is you're doing something important right now, because it takes all of those kinds of things, doesn't it? In order for everything to move forward in the kingdom, it takes all of that. But you never know where somebody who's washing the dishes is going to end up, you know. Mark writing a book of the Bible, it's amazing. It's really something. The book of Mark is good news. The story of real events in the ministry of Messiah, who walked among us, setting an example for us. It's interesting about Mark. Mark obviously was not very interested in the birth of Yeshua Messiah and how that all happened, because he didn't include it. He didn't include anything about the childhood of Messiah. And other than the fact that Messiah was resurrected, he really didn't care very much about what happened after Messiah was resurrected. You don't have much in his book about that either. What really lit his fire was who the person of Yeshua Messiah really was, what he did, and what he said. So you find in the book of Mark, in the first chapter, we hit the middle of the chapter and we're already at the apostles, right? And that's the reason, because that's what Mark wanted to tell us about. He wanted to tell us about what Messiah actually did. Don't you think that's exciting? He wanted to show us Messiah as an actual man. And that's why I love the book of Mark, because I feel like that. That's what grabs me about him, is who he really was as a man. I can relate to that. That means a lot to me. Well, Mark wrote this because as the gospel spread, there came a need for it. In the beginning, it wasn't needed because there were so many people who had actually seen him after he was raised. So many witnesses of that. And of course, it started in Jerusalem. So there are lots of people there in a very short time who could tell you the whole thing. So nobody wrote it down right away. But later on, as the gospel spread throughout the world, just imagine what it would be like for us if there was no gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We didn't have any of the letters of any of the apostles or of Paul, no book of Revelation, none of that. That's where the early believers were at when Mark wrote the book of Mark. Isn't that cool? And that's why Mark is written the way it is. It's very fast. It's the shortest gospel. So, you know, it could be reproduced very easily. It could be shared very easily. And no doubt when it was shared, people told what they knew. They added to it, right? Like if Paul went out and he had the book of Mark, they might read in the book of Mark, but then they would share more that others had told them. And no doubt that's why later we got the other gospels. But Mark was really the first gospel that met this special need of the expanding good news there in the first century. And so when it says in the beginning of the book, the beginning of the good news of Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of Elohim, you know what? It really was the beginning. It really was the beginning. So that's who Mark is. Mark is really a lot like you and I. And he did, I think, what we would want to do if we had been there. We would want to bring all that eyewitness information together in one place to share it with everybody else. The good news.
You have been listening to Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Further teachings and study materials on ministry service, the good news, the role of the remnant of Israel in the good news, sharing the good news, the book of Acts, Barnabas, Paul, Peter, the organization of the assembly of believers in their day, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and other kinds of ministers, and their function in the body of Messiah, along with many other related topics, can be found at our membership site, Zion Tabernacle. Sign up is free. Just go to zion.net. That's TSIYON.NET. New programs on the Gospels will be airing every Sabbath on Zion Road Radio. Tune in next Shabbat to learn more from Hebraic Insights in the Gospels. Shabbat Shalom!